Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Well, let me ask you a very simple but yet profound question. The question is this: were America's founding fathers Christians? Were they Christians? You know, can we say with any sense of certainty when we look at the writings of what they said themselves, of what they wrote themselves, can we actually come to the conclusion that these men were Christians, or were they something else, deists or just secularists, or, you know, what can we come? What sort of conclusion should we come to? Well, I saw an article printed, this was in Huffington Post a little bit back. It was on the 26th of February. But the title of it said, Founding Fathers, and then a colon, and it said, We are not a Christian nation. Now, I know the Huffington Post is a liberal magazine and a liberal blog here that they're putting out, but I thought that it had a kernel of truth in what they were talking about here, and I thought it was kind of ironic that we were hearing this from a liberal blog post, but it was also talking about some right-wing views about the idea of the U.S. being a Christian nation. Now, it opens up with an article here, I mean a quote, I should say, of John Adams, and John Adams, it says this, quote, The government of the United States is not, in any sense, founded on the Christian religion, unquote. So it opens up with that. Later on in the article, it under a section that it says back to the beginning here, it says this, How terribly ironic that the louder Christian protests against the excess of Islam and the more they agitate for a Christian excess. We need to stop this ridiculous argument about being a Christian nation. If there should be any doubt, let us listen to the founding fathers themselves. And then it goes on to, again, give a number of quotes from the founding fathers. So it begged the question for me, you know, is this a Christian nation in that sense? Was it founded as a Christian nation by Christian founders? That's the idea that I was thinking about. And I saw that there was a book written to this subject. The book is entitled The Religious Beliefs of America's Founders, Reason, Revelation, and Revolution, American Political Thought, and it was printed by the University Press of Kansas. And the opening part of it says this, Were America's founders Christians or deists? Conservatives and secularists have taken each position respectively, mustering evidence to insist just how tall the wall of separating church and state must be. Now, Greg Fraser puts the argument to rest in the first comprehensive analysis of the founders' belief as they themselves express them, showing that today's political right and left are both wrong. Well, Dr. Greg Fraser joins us now. He's the professor of history and political science at the Master's College in Santa Clarita, California. Their website, by the way, is www.masters.edu. And as part of our Master's edition of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast, Dr. Fraser has agreed to join us today to talk about this important subject. Dr. Fraser, welcome to the Knowing the Truth radio program.
Thank you very much.
Well, Dr. Fraser, as I was looking through your book, I thought it was very, very interesting, the case that you make there. And I wanted to see if we could do almost the impossible and try to make that case in the 20 minutes that we have left on the program today. But let's give it an attempt. And I thought the best way to approach it was to, for me to just read some of the titles of the chapters from your book. And then if you could give us a synopsis of what people would find in those chapters, I thought maybe by the end of the broadcast then they would have a pretty good idea of the argument that you're making in this book. How does that sound?
Great.
Well, let me ask you about that first chapter then. You talk about the subject of theistic rationalism. What is theistic rationalism?
Okay, theistic rationalism is a term that I developed, that I created. They didn't use the term. It's a term that I constructed to explain their belief system. Theistic rationalism was a hybrid belief system mixing elements of natural religion or deism, Christianity, and rationalism. So you have these three strains, natural religion or deism, Christianity, and rationalism. They were raised in, America's founders were raised in a sort of generically Christian environment, what we would call Christendom. So they had a lot of influence from Christianity. But then as they became educated, they were educated in Enlightenment thought, which introduced the notion of deism or natural religion. And so then they were conflicted because they believed that most of the time, natural religion and Christianity would lead one to the same place, but at points they would diverge, they would differ. And so what do we do? And I argue that they mixed in a third element of rationalism and used their own reason to determine what seemed reasonable to them, and therefore they rejected what they considered to be irrational in Christianity, and they rejected what seemed to be irrational in deism, and constructed sort of their own hybrid belief system, which I call theistic rationalism. It's theistic, not deistic, because they didn't believe in the deist God, unlike what the secular left says. They were not deists. They didn't believe in deism, that God sort of invented, created everything and then went on vacation. They believed in a present, active God who was paying attention and listened to prayer and so on and so forth. But fundamentally, it was a rationalism. It was a belief system cored and centered and based in rationalism.
Mm-hmm. Well, you developed that, it seems, in the second chapter then, where you talk about, it's entitled The Divine Sources of Theistic Rationalism. Is that where you more develop and spell out in greater detail how they borrowed from the Christian viewpoint of God and about theism itself?
Yes, and the title is Divine Sources of Theistic Rationalism, with divine in quotation marks.
Yes.
And the idea there is not God, but divines. In the 18th century, theologians were called divines. And so in the second chapter, I go to the sources that they themselves said influenced them, rather than trying to figure out. I go to the sources that they said influenced them, theological sources, the theologians, the religious sources that influenced them, and both for Christianity, in the direction of Christianity, the direction of natural religion, and in the direction of rationalism, and show how they borrowed from each of these areas and put it all together and created this hybrid belief system. And I might add that the reason that the secular left can come up with quotes that make them look like deists, and the reason that those on the right can come up with quotes that make them look like Christians, is because they were influenced by both of those camps. And so if you choose snippets, if you just take quotes out of context, you can find quotes that make them look like either one, but when you look at all that they said and you put it together in a comprehensive fashion, then you find that they were theistic rationalists.
Mm-hmm. It seems that you're making the case then that the environment that they were in, the religious environment, the secular environment around them, was involved in this hybrid religious views. Is that a fair way to put it?
Well, I don't make claims. I don't make broad claims. I think it's you can't make any general claims about the founding fathers and what they believed. And I know my title is The Religious Beliefs of America's Founders, but I didn't get to choose the title. The publisher did. It really should be the religious beliefs of the key American founders. That's what I argue. I study eight key founders who were most important in the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution and putting it into effect. The real movers and shakers, the ones that were the theoretical leaders that everybody else was following.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the eight people that I study in depth and demonstrate that they're theistic rationalists. There were Christians among the founders. There were only a couple of deists, depending on how broadly you define the term founding fathers. There were, contrary to what the left says, not only were they not all deists, there were hardly any of them were deists.
Mm.
There were Christians there, and there were theistic rationalists. It was a mixture, just like today. You couldn't say politicians today are and use some particular religious category. They differed.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing was true back then. They were human beings, and they held different views. And so the environment, the culture was sort of a generic Christianity, you know, kind of what we would call Christendom,
mm-hmm.
where people, you know, claim to be Christians and so forth. But the elite environment was rationalist.
Mm-hmm.
The elite environment, the elites were educated in Enlightenment thought and were rationalist. And so you had this sort of conflict between the elites and the common people. And the politicians had to sort of, you know, have a foot in both camps because they were elites, but they had to be elected.
Mm. That's interesting that you talk about that hybrid that we find there, and we even find it today. I just was listening to one of the presidential candidates. I was invited to go to a dinner there, and afterwards somebody told me that he considers himself to be an evangelical Catholic. And so I was like, well, that's an interesting terminology that's being used there in that statement. So I was could see that kind of a hybrid that he was trying to touch all of the bases there. Let me ask you, and I'm not sure if you have any of these quotes at the ready, so I don't want to put you on the spot, but give us a couple of the quotes, if you're able to, of some of the men that you looked at, the primary, as you talked about, the movers and shakers, the well-known names, Jefferson and Franklin and so forth, and give us some of the quotes that would help us to see just how they weren't the Christians that people make them out to be.
Yeah, I think the most instructive or the best one to look at is John Adams, because he is claimed by both right and left as a Christian. And by the way, largely when people talk about them as Christians and so forth, it's largely based on their denominational affiliation.
Mm.
You know, they belong to a Congregationalist church or something of that nature. And so for Adams, for example, he went to technically a Congregationalist church, although when Adams was about college age, the church officially went Unitarian.
Mm.
But Adams is generally claimed by both sides to be a Christian, and he also was a member of the committee that drafted the Declaration of Independence, which was a huge influence. So, for example, Adams said he referred to the deity of Christ and the atonement, the satisfaction of Christ for the sins of man, as absurdity.
Hmm.
He said that the Pythagorean as well as the Platonic philosophers probably concurred in the fabrication of the Christian Trinity. Adams was very opposed to the notion of the Trinity, that Jesus was God. In fact, the most outrageous quote that I found in all of my research, I won't read the whole thing because it's sort of lengthy, but I'll just sum it up. Adams said that if he had been on Mount Sinai with Moses for 40 days and God himself told him that the Trinity was true, he said, we might not have the courage to deny it, but we could not have believed it.
Hmm.
He said, we should be more likely to say, this is chance, there is no God, no truth, this is all delusion, fiction, and a lie, or it is all chance. So for him, his reason could not get around the notion of the Trinity, and so even if God himself told him on Mount Sinai, where God gave revelation to Moses, that the Trinity was true, he still wouldn't believe it.
Hmm. And that, goes right along with the...
Let me just throw one other thing in here.
Okay.
He also said that the notion of an incarnate God suffering on a cross, he says, has stupefied the Christian world. And he starts with horror at the idea, and he says that has been the source of almost all the corruptions of Christianity.
Mm. It goes right along with the idea of rationalism, as you have termed it here, and a theistic rationalism, because for our listeners' sake, when we talk about rationalism, we're talking about the fact that it elevates human reason as the final arbiter of various events, and human experience is what's most important. And so, whether or not it is reasonable to you becomes the arbitrator of it. So they reject all sorts of special revelation or any sort of supernatural revelation coming from God. And that would be a basic idea of a rationalist viewpoint. Let me remind our listening audience, we're speaking with Dr. Greg Fraser. He's a professor of history and political science at the Masters College, and their website is www.masters.edu. We're talking with him about his book, The Religious Belief of America's Founders, and you can get a copy of that book. You can just Google it on Amazon. You can find a copy there, or you can find it out at University Press of Kansas website as well. Dr. Fraser, you had mentioned then a couple of those quotes before I interrupted you. Did you want to read any more of those quotes to give us an idea of some of the beliefs that the Founding Fathers had?
Yeah, let me mention a couple other things that I think are instructive. Talking about the Bible, the theistic rationalists were not, deists completely rejected all written revelation. They believe that all we can know about God is what we see in nature. But the theistic rationalists did accept some revelation, written revelation from God as legitimate. But the problem is, the way they determined what was revelation and what wasn't was, again, by their own reason. And so they rejected parts of the Bible that they considered to be irrational, and in particular, of course, the supernatural and miracles. Some of them believed in a couple of miracles, but only if they thought the miracles, that it was rational that a God would do miracles. So, again, it's all based on reason. John Adams, for example, said, "Philosophy is the original revelation of the Creator to his creature man. No subsequent revelation, supported by prophecies or miracles, can supersede it." And, of course, what is subsequent revelation supported by prophecies or miracles? The Bible.
Yeah.
And so philosophy is supreme, ahead of the Bible. The Bible can't supersede it. He said that where is to be found theology more orthodox than in the introduction to the Shastra? The Shastra is a Hindu text. And so the theology there he found to be very orthodox. Why? Because his view of theology was, and his view of Christianity was, moral teachings. And this is the bottom line for the theistic rationalists, is that for theistic rationalism, the whole purpose of religion is to make men moral. And that's why they stressed it. That's why they wanted, actually, the one way in which the Christian right is correct is, and the left is wrong, they did want religion to influence the public square. Mm-hmm. They wanted religion to influence politics, contrary to what the left tells you. They did not want a wall of separation between church and state. But the difference with the right is it didn't have to be Christianity. Any religion would work, because they believed that religions, all religions they knew of, taught morality. And if you have a free people, they were doing this experiment in freedom. If you have a free people, how do you get them to behave? And their answer was through morality. And how do you get morality? That's through religion. And so for them, the purpose of religion was morality. And so even the Shastra, a Hindu text, could be considered the most profound theology by Adams because it taught morality.
Mm. It was really a syncretism that they believed in, right? I mean, they were combining various religious and secular thoughts together into this mongrel religious for their own utilitarian use, in order to just try to get the people to comply with what they were writing concerning the founding of the new nation. Is that a correct way to put it?
Yes, except I wouldn't say that it was only to get people to comply. I think they really believed it as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't entirely utilitarian, but that certainly was a huge element of it.
Mm.
And speaking of the Bible and what's rational and so forth, your listeners may know that Thomas Jefferson actually cut up the Gospels,
yes,
and produced his own gospel, cutting out the supernatural and the miraculous, and leaving behind the moral teachings of Jesus. And that's actually still in print today.
Yeah.
It's called the Jefferson Bible. But that act really sort of exemplifies and illustrates the theistic rationalist approach to the Bible and to Revelation. You choose what counts as real revelation according to your own reason. So he felt perfectly comfortable with cutting up the Bible and cutting it up and pasting it back together, cutting out all of the passages that he thought to be irrational.
Mm. Let me tell our listening audience that Dr. Frazier, in his book, also talks about theistic rationalism in the Revolutionary Pulpit and John Adams, Thomas Jefferson, Benjamin Franklin, the Key Framers, George Washington, and then his final chapter, and I wanted to make sure that we leave time for this, but the significance of theistic rationalism. Having said that, and found this in your research, that this was what the key framers of our Constitution, key framers of our founding documents, believed, what sort of ramifications does that then have on how we should think about our country today?
Yeah, that's really important, of course, that in scholarly work, it always comes down to the so what question.
Mm-hmm.
So you've discovered it, who cares? For American citizens in general, the competing claims of the left and the right are based on their views or assumptions concerning the founding. And so in the case of the left, the false view of the secularists about a wall of separation notion and removing religion from politics results in the loss of religious liberty for large numbers of Americans, as we can all, I think, attest and
mm-hmm.
recognize. And so it's important from that standpoint, but it's particularly important, I think, for Christians and for the church, because when you designate a mixture of Christian and non-Christian influences as simply Christian or biblical, you attach the authority of the inerrant, infallible Word of God to a non-biblical hybrid of influences, which is dangerous, and it causes many to confuse an American cultural heritage with biblical Christianity. And so it causes, I think, many in the church to lose the ability to distinguish what's truly biblical from what is American tradition.
Mm.
It also causes the Bible to become just a tool in service of a political agenda.
Mm.
And it causes people to place their confidence in processes and institutions rather than in the sovereign God. And it even affects our view of what it means to be saved, what it means to be a Christian. If you take religious people, which all of the founders were religious, if you take religious people and call them Christians, then it makes the gospel one of moral behavior
mm-hmm.
rather than the saving work of Christ. And one of the things that I do in the book is I went through the creeds and confessions of the 18th century American Christian churches and took out 10 fundamental core doctrines that all American Christians believed at the time. And these theistic rationalists only believe one of the 10 core doctrines.
Mm.
And so when I'm talking about them as Christians, I'm not talking about their denominational affiliations or even if they claim to be Christians or not, but what did they believe? And that's why the title of the book is The Beliefs of America's Founders.
Mm. Well, Dr. Frazier, well done on the research here. Very, very interesting. I appreciate you joining us today to talk about this subject, and I appreciate the effort that you put in on writing this book and doing such a tremendous amount of research to let the Founding Fathers speak for themselves in their own words as to whether or not they believe the gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as we believe it today. So I really appreciate the work that you have done, and I appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to join us for a few moments here on the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay, that was Dr. Greg Fraser. The book is called The Religious Beliefs of America's Founders. And again, you can get a copy of that book. It's out on Amazon and so forth. So if you just type in that title, The Religious Beliefs of America Founders by Greg Fraser, Dr. Greg Fraser. And again, he is a professor of history and political science at the Master's College in Santa Clarita, California. Their website out there is www.masters.edu. That's www.masters.edu. And if you go out there, you'll see more about Dr. Fraser and all the other great professors that they have out there at the college and the seminary. Just great work that they're doing out there. Very scholarly, very well done. I really appreciate the effort that they're putting forth out there for the gospel and for Christ. Remember this, the Lord Jesus Christ said, He said, you shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. We'll see you next time.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth. To keep this ministry strong and coming your way, you can make a financial gift at knowingthetruth.org by clicking on the donate button. You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.